Sean Murphy Show is on the air.
Here's into the end zone, and it is caught for the touchdown. Sammy Watkins, touchdown Buffalo. Touchdown Sammy Watkins.
It's showtime. It's go time. Let's go, baby.
Dominate on three. 1, 2, 3.
Dominate.
Let's go.
And he's going to be sacked again. He is dropped again.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, the official convenience store of the Buffalo Bills.
Organized team activity begins today. What about all the optimistic activity around the Buffalo Bills? Give us a call. Let us know if you think there's too much optimism going into this season. Head coach Rex Ryan sits down with us at 7:30 tonight on the show. Hall of Fame wide receiver Andre Reed joins us at 10 after 8. He's coming to training camp as a minority fellow coaching assistant with the Bills. And we'll talk about a new quarterback training device using virtual reality at 8:30.
If we're all in it, if we're all in it together, we'll win.
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
OTA. The three letters that are like magic to NFL fans. Not really. Organized team activity. OTAs. Virtually every team in the NFL in the middle or starting their OTAs today. They began today for the Buffalo Bills. Organized team activity today here at One Bills Drive. Many people shake their head and say, what the heck is OTA? What is organized team activity? Basically, the name, it's off-season practice. The name is a creation of the collective bargaining agreement. I want to say it's been 10, maybe 12 years since people have become aware of this phase of off-season workouts. Organized team activity, a new phase of the off-season program for teams around the NFL, including the Buffalo Bills. They had pretty good attendance today. Just a couple of notable exceptions. Marquise Goodwin, the wide receiver, was not here with travel issues trying to get back to Buffalo. And Chris Williams, the offensive lineman, not here as well. It is voluntary. But other than that, it looked like it was all present and accounted for on the field for day one of OTAs. 10 days of organized team activity for the Buffalo Bills. Three this week. One today, one tomorrow, and then one on Friday. Next week, three. I think next week, 4 days. The following week, 3 days. And then the Bills shift into the mandatory minicamp mode. So 4 weeks now of these a little bit more intense practices, and then training camp, then the month off, and then training camp time. That's where we are on the NFL calendar. OTA, organized team activity. We'll talk a lot about that tonight. Along with the OTAs, on a nice day in Orchard Park with the sun shining, the Bills outside on the grass practice field, optimism reigns supreme. It's really been that way since, you'd have to say, since Rex Ryan was hired in January. There's been optimism around this team. The free agency period it obviously fueled that optimism. Pretty good draft, even without a first-round pick, made the optimism even more palpable. The question comes as we move towards the final month of this off-season period, is there too much optimism? Is that possible, by the way? Is there too many good feelings? Should we be more skeptical about what this Buffalo Bills team might be able to accomplish this year? That's the issue on the table. Want to hear from you about that. Phone lines open, 803-0550, the number. From outside Buffalo, toll-free call 1-888-550-2550. You can do it via Twitter at John Murphy Show. A couple of ways to approach it. For a team that has not been in the postseason in 15 years, maybe we should be all more skeptical, more cynical about their chances of breaking that streak. There have been times when there's been optimism over these last 15 years, maybe not quite as high as it is right now, but there have been times when people felt pretty good about this Bills team going into a season. And I know there's a substantial segment of the fan base that feels like they've been burned before. They're not going to buy in until they see it. I get that. I understand that. On the other hand, after 15 years without a playoff spot, maybe Bills fans and a huge segment of Bills fans are so starved for success, so starved to have something to cheer for, to have hope that there's January football in the pipeline. Maybe that's where the optimism comes from. Where do you come down on this tonight? Give us a call. 803-0550 is the number to call. Toll free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. The Buffalo Bills, the optimistic tone, the optimism is high. Is there a danger of too much optimism? Give us a call. Let us know what you think. Matt Williams tweets in, I think the national media are spot on. The Bills will win the Super Bowl, the World Series, and the NBA Finals. I think that's kind of what I'm talking about. How much optimism should there be for a team that has struggled to make the playoffs for 15 years, that has not made the playoffs for 15 years? Scott Polachek says, yes, too much optimism. Won't feel comfortable until a winning record in mid-November. Even then, I don't know if people will be comfortable. But maybe it's a good thing for a fan base that has been on the sidelines in January for so long, to have that kind of hope, to have that good feeling. There are, I think, tangible reasons to feel pretty good about what this Bills team might accomplish this year. The coaching change is one of them. The staff that's been assembled is another, with Greg Roman, a head coaching candidate in some quarters, coming over to run the Buffalo offense. Rex Ryan's defensive staff virtually intact, coming up from the New York Jets, where they had great success on the defensive side of the ball. The free agency splash moves the Bills made in free agency, the trade for LeSean McCoy, the trade for Matt Castle, free agent signing to people like Jerome Felton and Charles Clay, I think roundly applauded as good, solid, positive moves that made the Bills better, and a pretty good draft without a first-round pick that added potentially a starting offensive lineman in John Miller. So there are tangible reasons to be optimistic, but are we being too optimistic? The reason that this stuck with me today, I wrote a piece for our website, for BuffaloBills.com, that was posted on Sunday, basically just sort of previewing OTAs. Six questions going into organized team activity. Number one, who's under center? Number two, how they're going to line up on the offensive line? Number three, who gets the work at running back? Number four, who's in the mix at safety? Number five, who fills out the depth chart at wide receiver behind Watkins and Woods and Harvin? And number six, the race at tight end behind Charles Clay. A preview of what to look for in OTAs. And some of the comments got me thinking. One commenter, before you induct the entire front office to the Hall of Fame, maybe they should win a playoff game first. Yeah, I agree. I think by previewing the OTAs, I'm not talking about this is a team that will automatically snap the playoff streak, or a team that will win a Super Bowl, go deep into the playoffs. Well, we don't know. I don't know. I certainly don't know. But there have been enough moves to look at this roster at least and think, this team's got a chance to do something, even with uncertainty at quarterback. That's what we want to hear from you. 803-0550, the number. Outside Buffalo, toll-free call 1-888-550-2550. Or you can do it via Twitter at John Murphy Show. You can ring us up right now. Too much optimism around the Buffalo Bills this offseason? Or just about right? Or maybe not enough. Maybe you think they'll exceed some of the forecasts. I mean, they've been called one of the most talented teams on paper in the NFL, and everybody acknowledges the uncertainty of quarterback, not knowing who the quarterback will be. But the Bills have been applauded for some of their offseason moves and been called one of the most talented teams. And I think it's good once in a while to check yourself, to take a step back and think, yeah, like what they've done here, like what they've done there, wish they would have done more of this. How good really are they? And how many games are they going to win? Let us know what you think. Give us a call, 803-0550, or toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Jay Harris, our show producer, you and I have been accused of being ringleaders of this optimistic era of good feeling offseason for the Bills. I'm just kind of trying to tell it like it is. They've made big moves. They've added some talent. I don't know if they're going to make the playoffs. I really don't. I think they will, but I don't know.
No, but I think every year there's a level of optimism heading in, whether it be any team in the league. At this time of year, there's a level of optimism. One this high, I haven't seen in a long time, but to be honest with you, maybe that's what we need. Instead of being that cautiously optimistic every year, why don't we go into a season where we should be optimistic? Shouldn't you be optimistic heading into it? You have talent. There's been talent on this team before, but you have the right coaching staff in place. I don't know, maybe we should. Maybe you should be overly optimistic.
Here's what I like: when people are realistic and optimistic. And by realistic, I think it's important to know that in this upcoming season, there's going to be ups and downs. The league is so well balanced. There's so much parity. The difference, I've said this for years, the difference between 7 wins in the NFL and 9 wins is minuscule. The difference between 6 wins and 10 wins, really not that great. And I think it's important to have that kind of understanding in an offseason, and especially in the regular season, knowing that But for a couple of bounces one way or the other, things could look totally different.
A fumble through
the end zone last year against Kansas City. A better game played in Oakland, second to last game of the year last year. A variety of things, really, that if they go the other way, it's a totally different story. And I think it's important to keep. And also, when you get into the season, no matter how optimistic you are, no matter what we're talking about expectations here, also, no matter what your expectations may be for your favorite team, know that there are going to be bumps in the road. There are going to be ups and downs. There's going to be probably a loss or two or three. And in the Bills' case, maybe a loss or four or five or six. I mean, that's how I think they're good enough. I think right now they're good enough, the Bills are, to win 10 or 11 games. But if they win nine, how far off am I? You know, they won nine a year ago.
Right. Well, difference, though, this year is that they're coming off of a successful season, or at least we would put it successful season.
Yeah, nine wins.
Nine and seven.
Winning season.
So I think there's that. You're building off of something, which we haven't seen in a while.
Yeah. Although, Jay, I'm going to disagree with you. I don't think anything that happened last year, I think you don't... you don't pick up where you left off. I mean, Bill Parcells was a major proponent of that. You know, what you did last year doesn't matter. We know what the talent level is. We know the defensive holdovers. We know how good they are. But you really don't start with anybody walking into a season and say, there's the Buffalo Bills. They're a 9-win team a year ago. They start from there. No, you start 0-0. And the other point that you made, which I do agree with, there's optimism all over the NFL right now. Yes. I mean, pick the team you think is the least talented in the NFL right now. Who would it be? Jacksonville, maybe? They're probably
thinking just like us.
Yeah, well, yeah, they're thinking, maybe. Hey, we're going to get better this year. You know, who had a worse offseason than the 49ers?
Right.
I'm sure there are people out there saying, well, you know, we still have the nucleus of a Super Bowl contender.
I know.
There's optimism all over the league.
Now, and when the schedule comes out, and I always tell this story, but me and my friends growing up, we've had the Bills at 10-6 every single year. Win. Yes.
Well, we all do that. That's what fans do. Let's hear from some of these fans.
This is why it's so great. You know, this is the best part about a league like this is the optimism building up to the season. You know, the anticipation rides so high. And then it gets to the point where we hit training camp. That's what's so great about this league. You know?
Yeah, I agree. A tweet here from Richie I. Too many acquisitions not to be optimistic, but I'm always optimistic this time of year. I think many of us are. Give us your thoughts. 803-0550, the number. From outside Buffalo, it's a toll-free call at 1-888-550-2550. Too much optimism about where the Bills are at after this, what's gone on in the offseason so far on this first day of OTAs. Give us a call and let us know what you think about that. Going to hear from Rex Ryan. We sit down with the head coach at 7:30 tonight at the bottom of this hour. Hall of Famer Andre Reed joins us at 8:10. Andre's coming to training camp as part of the Bill Walsh Minority Coaching Fellowship Program. And we're going to talk about a quarterback training device that employs virtual reality. And Trent Edwards' role in that coming up at 8:30 tonight. So stick around, contribute, let us hear your voice on the air as we talk about the Bills and the optimism surrounding the team right now. Let's go to start with Dean on his cell phone. Dean, what do you think? Too much optimism? What do you think?
No, I think there's plenty of optimism for good reasons. And hi, Murph and Jay. But that fellow you're going to have on at 7:30, Murph, he's given me the optimism.
Yeah.
And I really think, like, just judging off of last year, if we would have scored more points, I think we would have easily made the playoffs. And honestly, I think Doug Marrone really did a poor job with the offense. And I could just look at Marquise Goodwin and say, one catch all year? That's why I'm optimistic. I think Rex is going to run the offense aggressively, even though he's predominantly run. I think he'll take his shots downfield, which we hardly did at all. And just knowing if we could have scored a little more last year, we would have been in the playoffs.
You've got a lot of good points here, Dean. Thanks for calling. I will say this. One of the reasons for optimism, in my mind anyway, is the addition of Greg Roman to the offensive side of the ball. And this is not a knock on Nathaniel Hackett. I think Nate has the makings of a very good coach, but he was a first-time offensive coordinator in the league 2 years in. I mean, his first 2 years as offensive coordinator were here. On-the-job training. Now you've got Greg Roman, who has successfully run NFL offenses, who has developed quarterbacks, who has committed to a ground game that the Bills seem pretty well-equipped to run, a guy who got interest as a head coaching candidate over the last few years. Big difference. big upgrade when it comes to the offensive side of the ball. Not to mention David Lee is a quarterback's coach and Chris Palmer is senior offensive assistant. Just a lot of experience on the offensive coaching staff that the Bills lacked the last couple of years. And to your first point, you're absolutely right about the head coach, Rex Ryan. He'll be in with us here at 7:30 tonight. His enthusiasm is contagious, not just on the radio tonight with us, not just in the locker room with the players or in the meeting room, but let's face it, all over the community, all over Bills Nation, really. Rex Ryan walks in, not obnoxiously confident, but confident in what he can do and what he knows and what he's seen from this team. I like the fact that Rex Ryan is familiar with the Bills team. When he comes in and talks about what was accomplished here on the defensive side of the ball the last few years, that's genuine. That rings true because he was on the other end of that at the Jets the last few years. So he's not coming in and just paying lip service to how good the Bills have been defensively. He saw firsthand how good the Bills could be defensively. He saw his Jets lose two games to the Bills last year. I love the fact that Rex Ryan has a familiarity with the Bills coming into the season, and I think everybody has really been enamored of his confidence and his infectious enthusiasm. You can't help but be in that way. I think he is, of all the optimism around the Bills, if you could quantify it, I would put 55 to 60% of it because of the head coach and his attitude. Jay, what do you think of that? Am I overstating it? I mean, the free agent acquisitions are great. Looks like John Miller might be a find, a guy who's going to get a chance to play on the starting offensive line as a third-round pick. But more than half of the optimism, I believe, surrounding this Bills team this offseason comes directly from the head coach and his attitude.
And that's where it should come from. That's where it starts, and he's the voice of the team and has been since he was hired here. So I think it should be that way.
Yeah, he's certainly the face of the franchise. A call here from Syracuse. Terrence in Syracuse. Terrence, what about all this optimism around the Bills this offseason?
Oh, well, personally, I'm very optimistic because I have a family member who's in camp this year. So I'm wishing him well and hoping that he's able to stay with the Bills this year.
Who's that, Terrence?
Excuse me?
Who is that?
Bud Knoll. He's a defensive back out of Wake Forest.
What's his last name?
Knoll.
Okay. He's on the roster? Yeah. He's coming to camp?
Yeah, he's already there.
Okay.
Yeah, and so I'm, you know, he's a safety, and I'm hoping he's able to.
Merrill Knoll. Yeah, what'd you call him, Bud?
Yeah, that's what we call him. The family calls him.
Okay,
Bud,
so. Yeah, Merrill Knoll. Okay, all right, I got you. Yeah.
And he's we're just so proud of him, and we're hoping he's able to stay on with the Bills. You know, I played myself at University of Buffalo during the '90s when the Bills were very successful, so. I have no doubt that we should be able to make the playoffs this year.
All right, Terrence, thanks. I'm not saying I have doubt, but, I mean, it remains to be seen. You got to do it. You can feel good about your team, whether it's the Bills or anybody else. You can be optimistic about your team and think, look at what they've added. Then you got to do it. And the Bills have come up short in that department for a decade and a half. Even going into they've gone into some off seasons feeling pretty good about what they had and who was on the roster and the additions they made and come up short. So there are no guarantees, not from here, I don't think. There are no guarantees about playoffs. Let's go to Dan calling from Boston. Boston, New York, Dan, or Boston, Mass?
Boston, New York, Tom.
Okay, thanks for calling, Dan.
Oh, no problem. I just wanted to discuss two positions that I feel have been upgraded immensely, one being the quarterback, excuse me, and with bringing Matt Castle in, someone with a vast knowledge and experience playing behind Tom Brady for so many years and understanding what it takes to become a winning quarterback, and Tyrod Taylor being behind Joe Flacco. And Tyrod, I feel, is an exceptional athlete that will really push E.J. Manuel. And some of the things I remember E.J. Manuel doing well his first year, he ran really well up until the Cleveland game, and I think he was limited in some of his confidence. So I think he's going to have a gunslinger attitude, which will help make him the potential that they saw when they drafted him. And then from the tight end position you mentioned earlier, I mean, being one of the teams for at least over a decade that has not had a quality tight end, to bring in Charles Clay, just a stud tight end in the NFL, and then to bring in the best tight end in the NCAA for the last 2 years, clearly the best tight end in Nick O'Leary. But people forget that didn't he run a bad 40-yard dash because of an injury, but he had that mentality that his grandfather had on the golf course. Said, you know what, I'm just going to run this. And even though he ran a 4.93, he's capable of better. So with that said, I just wanted to listen to your comments.
All right, thanks. Yeah, some good thoughts there, Dan. Thanks for calling. Yeah, you're right about Nick O'Leary. He was very productive at Florida State. Mackey Award winner this past year, senior, did not run well at the combine, and so his stock dropped to the sixth round level where the Bills got him. I think they feel like they got a pretty good player there. On the quarterbacks, a couple of things. We're going to talk with Rex Ryan about Tyrod Taylor because he's got a little following, Tyrod Taylor does, on this show, and I know in other quarters, a lot of people think he is the answer, or at least could be the answer to the Bills quarterback question. So we're going to ask Rex Ryan about Tyrod Taylor when he joins us in studio in a few minutes. Rex is a guy who clearly wanted him here, tried to get him on his Jets roster a couple of years ago and failed to get him there. So what's the attraction to Tyrod Taylor, and is he, I mean, I'll ask the question, is Taylor like a gimmicky guy? Is he a situational package-type quarterback, or does he have a chance to compete for the job? And we'll talk with Rex Ryan about that. EJ, as a gunslinger mentality, I don't know if you want EJ a gunslinger, but I do think, and I've heard a couple of times, just today, Coach Ryan talk more about how they want EJ to let it go, to let it fly. And this is something that I said probably for the last 12 months on the show. You know, EJ's got to relax and let it fly, you know, since being, and he, I think, acknowledges that too, after his benching after four games last year. You remember the almost cryptic comment when he was sent to the bench after four games last year, after the Houston game, when he said, if I get a chance to play again, I'm going to do things a lot differently. I'm going to do things my way. I think what he's talking about is being playing more loosely, being more free with the ball, trying to squeeze the ball into tight windows that he's going to see here in the NFL. I watched a little bit of today's workout, not a whole lot, and saw some of that. I mean, I saw some really good passes. In fact, I saw good passes from EJ. I didn't watch Tyrod Taylor Atul at the other end, but I did watch EJ and Matt Cassel, and they both were throwing the ball extremely well, I thought, and that was very encouraging. I think, you know, what are we talking about? One OTA practice. We're not going to make any sweeping judgments based on one OTA practice, the limited part I saw. But I do think EJ looked like he was throwing it better than I recall him doing last year. A couple of other tweets about optimistic feelings among Bills fans. Ken Krause, this team can definitely make it to the postseason. If we get more production from running back and quarterback, we can make the playoffs. Since we got Rex Ryan, the Bills have been all over national TV, something we lacked in the past. Plus all the star power, got to be excited. I know fans get excited when national observers make note of what the Bills do. That doesn't equate to wins. That does not, in my mind, I got to be honest, it doesn't make me any more excited about a team if the folks on ESPN or NFL Network or any of the national observers, if they notice what's going on here. If the Bills win, that's what counts, what the national observers think. That does nothing for me. And I'm probably in the minority there. Jay, do you care if the Bills get national attention?
I used to. I think we're in a different, because we're around it so much, I think we have a different perspective on that. But from the outside, you like to see that national attention. So I do.
I don't care.
Sort of favor that. No, personally, I don't. But I see where they're coming from. They love to see their team headline coming up next on the network.
I just don't feel slighted if the opinion makers at ESPN, and it's mostly ESPN, if they don't pay attention to what's going on up here, I don't care. I really don't. Doesn't add to your win total. That's my thought. Amy Sprague tweets in, optimism is not a guarantee we're going to win, just a hope, but it's better than focusing on their faults. Okay. And Corbin Dallas tweets in, optimism isn't the word. We talk a lot about defense, but I believe this offense with Greg Roman will and company will be revolutionary. As a Bills fan, I'm getting my popcorn ready, he continues. Don't think people understand what's about to happen here. San Francisco is a preview. We talk about running. Watch for this passing game to be revolutionary as well. That's kind of what I mean about the optimism being off the charts. And God bless you if you feel that way, but that tweeter, not only is he talking about the Bills being good, being improved, making the playoffs, improving on last year's win total, he's predicting they're going to be revolutionary on offense. Maybe they will. I could, you know, maybe they will. I guess I prefer to take a smaller bite out of it than some people who predict revolutionary offense. Make the playoffs.
Setting a trend in the NFL and their offense.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot to ask for. That's part of the fan base. That's what takes us to our topic tonight. When is too much optimism not a good thing? Are we there yet? It's okay to be optimistic. I'm not trying to dampen the optimism about the Buffalo Bills, but I think there has to be some realism as well. And the season is long, and there are unforeseen consequences and unforeseen circumstances, I should say, stuff that's going to happen that you can't even imagine right now. I mean, we had a taste of it the other day when the word came down that Marcell Dareus will miss game one with his suspension. What else is out there? Injuries, unforeseen circumstances? Who knows? Nobody knows. So to predict the Bills will be better, yeah, I agree with that. To predict they'll make the playoffs, I think they will. I think they will. I don't know. To predict they're going to be revolutionary on offense, that's too much for me. Too much for me to swallow at this point. We'll see. All right, we're going to continue this discussion throughout the evening. The level of optimism around the Buffalo Bills, how much is too much, and where are we now with that? Coming up also tonight, we're going to take a step back and look a little bit at quarterback development. Derek Belch is going to join us. He is a Stanford University football coach who has developed a virtual reality system to train quarterbacks. His partner is former Bills quarterback Trent Edwards. I talked, traded messages with Trent today, and he put us in touch with Derek Belch, who will speak about their new virtual reality training center, a new training tool for quarterbacks. Basically, you put on the virtual reality goggles and see the field like a quarterback does. We'll talk with Derek Belch about that coming up next hour. Hall of Fame receiver Andre Reed coming back to the Bills this summer to mentor the wide receivers as part of the Bill Walsh Minority Coaching Fellowship. We'll check in with Andre coming up next hour at 10 after 8. But coming up next, stick around, the man responsible for most, I would say most of this optimism, head coach Rex Ryan. He's going to be in studio with us when we return. It is the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO, live tonight from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Welcome back to John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, the first day of organized team activity, and joining us in studio is head coach Rex Ryan. The next phase is kind of like turning another page of this offseason book, isn't it?
Oh, but this one's actually looks like real football out there. So, you know, finally, you know, it's weren't quite as impressive today going against our defense as we were going against air. But, no, it really is. Now is when you're getting, you know, to do a lot of the football stuff. You know, you've done all the preparation up until this point, you know, learning the playbook, doing different things like that, you know, running routes on air and stuff. But, you know, we're ready for it. You know, you can tell guys were excited about it. First day outside also. So it was good. I tell you, I was impressed with some of the guys that haven't been here. You know, some guys, some veteran players, because all, you know, the phase one, you know, it's voluntary. But right, these guys come in for the OTAs, and they were on top of it. And that just showed me that they're putting the time in the playbooks and things. So I was impressed by a few of those guys as well.
Do you find yourself maybe thinking the worst about the guys who are not here, the veterans who opt not to be here? Like, oh, no, he's home drinking beer.
You know
beer
what?
And eating
pizza. Easy to say, no, you don't. But but you're sitting back and you're, you know, like, where's the, you know, it's not the commitment, but it's like, and I get it because it's set up that way. But you do feel a lot better about it when they show up and they really know what they're doing. You know, was that across the board on all the guys that were here? Absolutely not. There was somebody that I saw that that didn't know anything. And to me, it just showed that, you know, that he got a long way to go.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to mention names, but it's a but I was disappointed with one individual.
Just so fans know, what makes this a little bit different than what you've been doing for the last month or so? What are you able to do now that you couldn't do before?
Well, you're actually going against each other. So you get the offense going against the defense. And, you know, now, look, it's not full speed. It's not, you know, you're not in pads and things. But the drills are at a high tempo. And guys are taking care of each other. And that's the thing. You've got to learn how to practice without the pads on. Clearly, we've done that. The veterans, you know, sometimes you worry a little bit about the rookies because they're trying to make an impression, you know, but they got to take care of each other, and that's part of being a pro. We did have things a little different. We had two-spot drills, which we had talked about, where literally you're running. So you got the first and second group going on one part of the field, and you got the threes going on the other. And with it, you know, you can't say you're not getting any reps because they're all getting reps. And I think it was good. Have some of the young coaches that are, in there, it's like, hey, guys, we got to learn how to coach off the tape as well,
because
you want to really go through these plays and things. But overall, I was pretty impressed with today's practice.
Have you done that before, set up two ends of the field?
No, it's the first time. Got this Greg Roman. They did that in San Francisco. And I'm like, you know what, let's give it a shot right now. It makes sense for development, especially of the younger players. And also about giving the reps to your quarterbacks. You know, we got three guys that we know it's a three-man competition. They all need work. If it's not a true competition, if you're not going to give them work. So, you know, I like that today. And I can understand the drill. I'll be excited to watch the video, too, because now you get twice as many snaps.
Well, I was thinking about what you as coaches do. It's hard, if not impossible, to watch both sets of either teamwork or seven-on-seven. So you got to go back and look at the video of what you didn't see at the other
end. No, that's true. And I tried to do it, and believe me, it was like, your head's on a swivel and things. But, I mean, it's, but you will, pick it all up on tape as well.
Is there a conditioning aspect for the players as well with that many reps?
Absolutely, Murphy. You're looking at them to where, in their football reps, so there's a difference. You can be in shape, you can lift all the weights, and you can do all the running and things, but it's generally straight line and things. Now, when you get the football, it's a lot different. And, you can be in shape, but being in football shape is a lot different. And obviously we want to get a good foundation, this last month that we have, and that leads us into the off season, getting ready for training camp. But, if we had to play a game today, we're probably not where we want to be.
Right.
But we're ahead of where we normally are, where I've seen teams at this time. And that tells you a lot about the players. It also tells you about our strength and conditioning program here.
Head coach Rex Ryan in studio with us talking about this first day of organized team activity on the field. You mentioned the quarterbacks and the work it gets for them. Greg Roman told us last week that it's basically a wide open race, right? A three-man race. We know we've seen EJ play. Castle's been around the league. We don't know a whole lot about Tyrod Taylor. Tell us what you think of him coming in and what you expect to see from him in the weeks and months ahead.
I think Tyrod is a young man that I know I was excited about it. It's well documented. I tried to trade for him a couple of times because he gives you that athleticism for that position that as a defensive coach you're nervous about. I mean, for a guy that can not just do things with his arm, but he can create a lot of things with his legs as well, whether that's organized runs or it's when things break down, he could still make plays. So he's a interesting guy. I've been very impressed with him as far as his ability to pick things up. He's been very impressive that way. And the thing about him, he's short, but he's not small. This is a guy that slapped together pretty good. You think of a Russell Wilson, and I'm not saying he's Russell Wilson, but I'm not saying he isn't either. Yeah. So I think if this is a guy that's put together, probably the fastest quarterback in the league, running about a 4.4. So I think he's got those traits, and he's got a heck of an arm. So we'll see if he can put it all together.
We get callers to the show who, champion his cause, love Tyrod Taylor. I go back, and the only video I can find is preseason games when it's end of game. He's playing against threes. You must have seen him in other competitive situations that make you feel pretty good about what he might be able to do.
Well, I did. Yeah, he played in a game when, he got a ton of snaps in a couple of games, for the Rams, or one game. And we saw some good things, saw some things that, obviously needed some improvement on. But it's just, when you find out the kind of person he is, I know his former offensive coordinator well, Cam Cameron, and, he just raved about him. A lot of his former teammates, so I did my research on this young man and bring him into the mix. You mentioned you have a Matt Castle who's got that, veteran presence and, has been around the league a long time. You got certainly have EJ Manuel. That's a young man that we're very aware of and familiar with. Fans in Buffalo are familiar with. So I think it's going to be a great competition.
And just one more thing about Taylor. To be clear, you don't just view him at this stage anyway as like a situational guy. He's competing to be the starter, right?
No, absolutely. We haven't done anything specific to Tyrod or anything else. I mean, let put the ball out there. Let's generally what happens. Competition brings out the best in everybody, and that old saying, the cream will rise to the top. When you put that thing out there in live scrimmage situations, the cream will rise to the top, and I'm confident in that. But you got to also, with that, you have to give a legitimate competition. And I think that's what we have here.
Rex, do you have a target date in mind or a place where you want to be in this offseason to make a decision on quarterbacks?
No, I mean, you know, ideally you'd like to do it sooner than later. Yeah. But in an ideal world, I don't think we're going to be there. You know, I think this will, you know, go through 2 or 3 weeks through training camp. So we'll see how it goes, especially having the three guys and you wanting to get, you know, all the looks you can. But ideally, you know, you'd like to be able to make that decision, you know, sooner than later.
Bills head coach Rex Ryan in studio with us. I wonder if when you watch your defense and the veterans on your defense, if they seem, does it look familiar to them, do you think, having played in Mike Patton's scheme a couple of years ago?
Yeah, I believe so. We're trying to, you know, this will be the Buffalo Bills defense. It won't be, you know, certainly Mike Patton's defense or, you know, anybody else's. This will be our defense, and we will combine a lot of things that that they've been done, you know, that they've done well in the past here. Last year was Schwartz heading up their defense. You know, obviously there was a lot of success there. They did well. And then with Patton, you know, coming from 20-something in the league to like 10th, I believe, well, you know, there were some impressive things. But, you know, we expect to do much better things here with the talent we have. I'm excited about it. It's been a long time since I've been surrounded with this kind of talent, and that's going to be scary for this league, I think.
Marv Levy used to talk about how the biggest jump for players' talent was from their rookie year to their second year. Do you agree with that, and do you see that out here with anybody?
Well, I think that's, you know, that's a statement that is so true, because at first everything is so new to you, and sometimes it takes 2 or 3 years or whatever, but there is that jump where all of a sudden now it's not new. You feel like, hey, you know what, I know what the heck I'm doing out there. That allows that physical talent to take off. And there's some players that, you know, a good one, you know, jumps out to me is a guy that I think is, you know, getting a grasp of it. He actually wasn't here today, but he's shown me some of those type of things. You know, a great player like a Percy Harvin, even though it's, you know, it's been a number of years, he's just now really getting comfortable as a true receiver. You know, not a gadget guy, not a this or that. So I think he's actually, you know, popping off today. He caught a deep ball for a touchdown. He, you know, did some great things. So excited to see what he can do.
Aside from your OTAs, we haven't had a chance to talk to you since the rules changed last week, the extra point change. They moved the line back to the 15-yard line. Any thoughts on that, the impact?
Well, no, it's the same for both teams, so no big deal. I thought a solution would be easy to narrow those goalposts a little bit and make those 50-yard field goals a little more challenging. You know, they talked about that and the extra points and all that. But, you know, the rules will be the same for both sides, so no big deal. I'm glad that it stayed at the 2-yard line instead of the, you know, moving it up to the 1 or, you know, 1.5. I thought that was the craziest thing I ever heard, put it on a half-yard line. Like, really? And I'm like, we don't do that for any other place. So.
Right. You think it'll make you more prone to go for two, you know, with the, especially when the weather gets bad?
Well, you know, it could be, but, you know, we'll see how it plays out. You know, certainly you'll go into games, you know, conditions here. If you're playing and it's, you know, snow game or whatever, maybe that's it. Or you feel good about, you know, you have some 2-point plays that you feel really good about, you know, certainly be up to it.
As a defensive guy, you got to be happy that defense has a chance to factor in that play.
Yeah, no doubt. And that's one thing, you know, where college is ahead of the NFL in that. It's how can you have a snap and the defense not be able to score?
Right.
So, yeah, I think that'll be that's a good thing, obviously.
Hey, Coach, thanks for this. It's good to have your guys back out on the field. It's good to see him. I'm sure you feel good about it, too.
Oh, man, it felt fantastic finally getting outside and really having all the guys here. You know, it's great because you're really getting to see what your team's going to look like. And, you know, it was impressive.
Thanks, Coach.
All right, I appreciate it.
Head Coach Rex Ryan, our guest, the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Thanks again to Coach Rex Ryan for joining us in studio, talking about this first day of organized team activity. It was good. We've got to get him in here more often. He's always interesting. Like to hear your thoughts on anything you heard Coach Ryan say. The phone line's open, 803-0550, the number. Outside Buffalo, toll-free call at 1-888-550-2550. or you can talk about the topic we kicked off the show with, talking about the optimism surrounding the Buffalo Bills. How much is too much? Are we there already? A couple of people have tweeted in on that already to say, a Western New York Bills fan tweet, we're better off out of the spotlight. I know some people feel that way. Jesse Edmondson tweets, and until the Bills gear is sold out in NOLA, New Orleans, we are underrated. Might take a while for the Bills gear to be sold out in New Orleans, I would think. Give us your thoughts. Justin Westphal, I don't think too optimistic. We have the talent and the coaching. Anything less than 10-6 will be disappointing. As far as Rex Ryan, a number of interesting things I picked up off that. I hope you were able to listen to that, including the quarterback competition, the target date for his decision on who's going to be the starting quarterback. Really, they just moved into a new phase of the competition today as they got into teamwork, 11-on-11 and some 7-on-7 against defense in the OTAs. But Coach Ryan says, we'll see how it goes. He said, I think this will go 2 or 3 weeks into training camp. So it gives you the sense they're going to give these three quarterbacks, including Tyrod Taylor, a chance to compete for a couple of weeks in training camp. Camp probably going to start around the end of July, so maybe you're looking at the second or third preseason game, probably the third, August 29th against Pittsburgh. As far as Tyrod Taylor, we get an awful lot of calls about Tyrod Taylor on the show. He has a segment of the fans that think he'll be the guy. And it was interesting what Rex Ryan said about him. First of all, he said he is not just a situational option at quarterback. He said, absolutely not. Here's the quote. He said, we haven't done anything specific to Tyrod or anyone else. Put the ball out there. Competition will bring out the best in everyone. Put that thing out there in scrimmage situations, and they'll see what Tyrod Taylor does at that point. As far as what he's seen from Tyrod Taylor and the limited NFL action he's had, Coach Ryan said he got a really good report on him from his former offensive coordinator in Baltimore, Cam Cameron, who raved about him along with some of his former teammates. And he likes his athleticism, quite frankly. Here's the quote from Rex Ryan about Tyrod Taylor. He gives you athleticism at that position as a defensive coach you'd be nervous about. For a guy that cannot just do things with his arm, but with his legs as well, whether it's organized run or when things break down. So that's Rex Ryan's position on Tyrod Taylor, where he sees that going. And it is, it sounds like, a bona fide three-way competition between Taylor, Matt Castle, and E.J. Manuel. They just got started today. All right, we're going to take a break for the top of the hour and then talk more about this optimism thing. How optimistic is too optimistic when it comes to the 2015 Buffalo Bills? Give us a call. Let us know what you think. 803-0550, the number. Outside Buffalo, toll-free at 1-888-552-550. Andre Reed coming up next hour. And we'll talk about a new virtual reality training system for quarterbacks. One more hour to go. The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, live tonight from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Let's go! Let's go!
And this crowd is on its feet, and it is pandemonium. And that's only the half of it.
Halftime is over. We're back with more of The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
Keep spilling your blood for one another. Let's go get it now. Let's go. Bills on three. 1, 2, 3. Bills.
Safety. 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 Unbelievable.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, the official convenience store of the Buffalo Bills.
And we're into hour two of the show here until 9 o'clock tonight. Make sure you dial us up. Let us know what you think about the Rex Ryan interview we just had. Hope you got a chance to hear it. If not, you can catch it on our website. BuffaloBills.com should be up and posted a little bit later on tonight. 803-0550 is the number to call. Toll free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-552-550. You can reach out and talk to us via Twitter at John Murphy Show. One of the things Coach Ryan said, you may have heard it, was about he was happy with the participation level, happy with the guys who came back. He said he was a little bit worried. He was impressed, he said, with the guys who have not been here, veteran players, except for one. Here's the quote from Rex. There was somebody I saw that didn't know anything. To me, it just showed that he's got a long way to go. I'm not going to mention names, but I was disappointed with one individual. Who's he talking about? I don't know. He said he wasn't going to talk about it. He wasn't going to name names. But I'm pretty certain he named names and talked to the player that he felt that way about. But I guess that's not bad. You know, you've got 89, 90 players in the contract, and if most of them are here and one of them looks like he's not on the right page, that's not a bad percentage. Give us your thoughts on what you heard from Rex Ryan. Give us your thoughts on what we started the show talking about, the optimism that surrounds the Buffalo Bills this offseason. Off the charts, really. I mean, totally off the charts. People feel good about where they're headed. Is it warranted? Is it dangerous? 803-0550, the number to call with your thoughts on that. It's a toll-free call from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. Is it warranted to be that optimistic? Justin Westfall, I don't think we're too optimistic. Let's see, what else? Vince Guarino tweets in, optimistic is better than the alternative. No question about that. A call here from Brooklyn. Ryan calling from Brooklyn. Ryan, what do you think about all this optimism surrounding the Buffalo Bills this offseason?
Well, I had a very interesting kind of like metaphor. I'm a chef, and I kind of think of Greg Roman as being the chef of this offense. And you look at the offensive talent being like the protein, and you can give me a lot of high-end awesome ingredients like scallops and lobster and foie gras and Kobe beef. And it takes a certain talent to put that all together. You look at the quarterback that we're not so sure about this season, and that's kind of like the starch on the plate. And I'm thinking like a yuca root. You can do a lot with it, but it can be real bland too.
Wait a minute.
And then you're looking at the offensive line, which is your vegetable. And if you overcook the vegetables, it's going to ruin any dish. But if it's fresh and delicious, it brings it all together. Also, now you're looking at Greg Roman. His job as the chef is to make a sauce. A sauce is going to take all of these ingredients and make them harmonious and work together. And I think that's where our biggest question mark is. Can Greg Roman take all the talent he has and some of the few question marks at quarterback an offensive line and be able to bring all these pieces together and make a delicious offensive football dish for us to feast upon this season?
Call of the night already, Ryan, with 1 hour to go. Quick question for you. Why is the quarterback only the starch? Many people just sort of disregard the starch, push it off to the side of the plate. They want the meat. They want the protein, right? Why isn't the quarterback more important?
You know, the proteins are always the star of the plate.
Yes.
And sometimes that can be the quarterback, and he can flash it up. But really, as a chef, the starch is it's what binds you. It's what grounds you in all your other ingredients. And if you can have a really solid starch that's really well-seasoned and really intelligent and knows how to play with the rest of ingredients on the plate, it can really make your dish really successful. So.
Okay, where do you cook, Ryan?
I'm in New York City. I've been cooking in restaurants and for the last several years, actually cooking for a prep school in downtown Manhattan.
Okay, Ryan, thanks. That's a great analogy, I think. Thanks for calling in. Am I missing something, Jay?
I was waiting for a joke.
I'm waiting for the punchline. I think he's serious.
That's good. He was serious, and that's a very good way to put it. And,
I guess.
Creative way to put it.
It was creative.
Let's give him credit where it's due.
Yeah, that was very interesting. Okay. 803-0550, the number to call, or outside Buffalo, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. First day of organized team activity today. The chefs, Rex Ryan, Greg Roman, got the team out on the field. They did something a little bit different. You heard Rex talk about it, I think, last hour. Something that hasn't been done around here, something that Rex Ryan said he had never done before. Simultaneously, they had 11-on-11 and 7-on-7, two different units, offense versus defense, on two different sides of the field, just an effort to get more reps for everybody, including the quarterbacks who are in this quarterback competition, to get a look at everybody. When we sat down with Rex tonight, we asked him if he's ever done that sort of thing before.
No, it's the first time. Got this Greg Roman. They did that in San Francisco, and I'm like, you know what, let's give it a shot right now. It makes sense for development, especially the younger players, and also about giving the reps to your quarterbacks. You know, we got three guys that we know it's a three-man competition. They all need work. If it's not a true competition, if you're not going to give them work. So, you know, I like that today, and I can understand the drill. I'll be excited to watch the video, too, because now you get twice as many snaps.
Rex Ryan talking about the way they worked on the field today and 7-on-7 and 11-on-11 with two different units. You know, for, and they broke it up basically in ones and twos on offense versus ones and twos on defense, and the rest of the group, threes and whatever's left over after threes versus threes on the defensive side of the ball. I'd never seen it done before. They're going to do it, they think, throughout the rest of the offseason and into training camp. And as you heard, probably heard Rex Ryan say, as far as making a decision on the quarterback situation, he thinks that'll go at least a couple of weeks into training camp. I asked him if he's got a target date for making the quarterback decision. He said, I think this will go through 2 or 3 weeks into training camp. So we'll see. The quarterback question is going to be asked probably every day when the Bills get to training camp in Rochester this summer. When they do get to training camp in Rochester this summer, there's going to be a familiar face on the sidelines as one of the Bills' coaches. 941 catches in a Bills uniform, 951 in his career, 16 years in the NFL, 15 of them here with the Buffalo Bills, and elected to the Pro Football Hall of Fame just last year. Hall of Famer Andre Reed is live on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline with us. Andre, thanks for being with us tonight. We appreciate it.
You got it, man. Hey, you going to send me some of them Subways or what?
Yes, the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. We'll deliver them to you when you're down.
I'll be looking for a van here before I come to training camp, right?
Yeah, yeah. We'll take care of you down at training camp. You're coming to camp as part of the Bill Walsh Coaching Fellowship, Andre. Tell us about that plan and what you're going to do down there.
Well, I was involved with this 2 years ago in Kansas City, and I got a call from Andy Reid. And, you know, at one time, you know, in my career, after I was done playing, I really wanted to get involved in coaching or scouting or something to do with the game because, you know, I was away from the game for a little while. And let's face it, I played a long time and played a long time in the league and played since I was 8 years old. And you know, I feel I have a lot to give back to the game. And this is a great way to do it. I think, you know, reading some things, some of the fans are like, is he really serious about this? I have never been more serious. So if anybody's listening out there, which a lot of people are, I'm as serious as I'm going to training camp to play about this because I feel that it's important for me, not only in Buffalo, but to give back to the game that's given me so much. And I'm very excited about being there. Rex has given me a great chance and an opportunity, and that's all you ask for. The organization has given me a great opportunity, the coaching staff. I was up there about 2 weeks ago in one Bills drive there and just met a lot of the coaches. And I know Anthony Lynn, I played my last year in Denver when Anthony was in Denver. And mentioned it to me, and I mentioned to them that I was really interested in doing this and had pretty good experience there in Kansas City a couple years ago with Andy Reid and his staff. Coach Cully there, the wide receivers coach there, really embraced me. The whole organization embraced me, and I really got some valuable experience. And it was just great to be back on the field and smell the grass because, let's face it, man, once you've done it as long as I have, it never leaves you. But if you got a chance to get back on that grass and be in that atmosphere again, it really brings back a lot of great memories from training camp when I played. So, I'm very serious about this. And I think, you know, this is a great, talented group of guys, that the Bills have there at the position and as a whole, the whole team. And to be a part of it and to add my expertise, if you want to say, and be there as a mentor, be there in anything that they need from a football standpoint, from any kind of standpoint, you know, I feel that I can give that to them. And that's really what the whole thing is about. And again, I couldn't thank, you know, Rex for calling me and giving me the phone call and asking me, you know, if I'd be interested. And I, you know, there's no doubt about it. I jumped at it because it's Buffalo and it's where I laid my foundation, and you know, I've been up there for years and years and years now, even after my playing days, and it should be a fun time at training camp this year.
Andre, what did you take out of the Kansas City camp experience of 2 years ago? What did you learn that maybe you didn't know after 16 years playing in the NFL?
Well, one thing I think it all falls under is you, as a player, it's a little different than you are as a coach. You know, you're as a player, it's a different mindset. As a coach, it's a different mindset. You know, as a coach, you're all about, you know, getting the team ready and getting the players ready to go into battle and go into a season. And as a player, not only you're getting yourself ready for the season, but you have position battles and you have, you know, a lot of different, you know, factors into you making the team. You know, you're being injured if you get injured or, The numbers, so many different things that go on as a player that you have to deal with outside of what a coach goes through. I was able to get into the staff meetings with Andy and his staff and listen to some of the things that as a player you don't hear. And they talk about players and they talk about different positions. They talk about a depth chart. And as training camp went on, when I was there 2 years ago, you see how a team is built. And as a player, you really don't see how the team is built because you're concentrating on what you have to do. But, you know, I think that's the main thing that I came away from that is you see how the team is built and what factors come into building a team and the really hard decisions that you have to make to get to those, you know, 40, 50, 49 guys on the roster. So that's really what probably stuck out to me the most is that part of it.
When you were with the Chiefs 2 years ago, Andre, and you're in those personnel meetings with the coaching staff, did they pick your brain? Did they ever say, hey, Andre, what do you think of this guy? What do you think of that guy?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think after about the first week, you know, being somewhere the first time, you're a little apprehensive of talking. You know, I never was a big talker, but as you get older, you know, your mouth opens up a little bit more.
Yeah.
But I never really was the kind of talker, not even as a player. And, you know, I had a bunch of other guys that did a lot of talking for me, and we all know who those guys are. So, and I'm sure they're all listening, too. But anyway, I think, you know, talking to Andy and a couple times he asked me for my opinion on some guys, and not only receivers, but defensive backs, because, you know, they go against those guys every single day. And, you know, what do you think of this guy? What do you think his talent is? What is his skill? What really stands out to you? And after about the first week of camp, I had a lot more players and a lot more coaches and especially Andy coming up to me and talking to me about different things. And it was really a great experience because I felt that I can, you know, contribute in that way. And it was really good.
Hall of Famer Andre Reed on the line with us. He is going to be the Bill Walsh Coaching Fellowship coach at training camp this year. You've also, Andre, had experience a couple of times, I think, with the some college All-Star games coaching, right, with NFLPA? What's that been like?
Yeah, well, that's been great. You know, it's a different kid, John. Let's face it, man. Different kid than a professional. It's a different time in the National Football League now in the past probably 10 years. The kids are different. The teaching is different. Let's face it, training camp wasn't like, you know, when you covered us in training camp back in the early 90s, you know, we went 2 days, 4 days in a row in pads. And nowadays, you know, with the collective bargaining agreement and all these different rules that you're not allowed to do that. So one thing I did notice is, you know, it's a little easier. You know, training camp's always going to be training camp, but back in the day, you had to come in shape in the camp. And now, you know, because of the repetitions and that are cut down and the way training camp is structured, that, you know, you can actually come into training camp and get in shape. And I'm not saying that I hope that, you know, the team is ready to go, but that's really how it is because they really don't demand that physicality as much as they did, you know, years and years ago. So it's a little different.
Andre, your credentials, pro, you know, seven-time Pro Bowl, 950 catches, Pro Football Hall of Fame. How much credibility will that give you when you start talking to some of these young receivers on the Bills roster?
Well, you know, I've talked to Sammy last year a little bit and talked to Robert Woods a little bit, and now that they added Percy and Percy Harvin and Charles Clay at the tight end position, that's going to open it up a lot for those guys on the outside. Chris Hogan is a real good a solid receiver that he did a great job last year. Really a good possession guy that they can use. Again, I said this earlier. This is going to be probably the biggest position battle. And they talk about quarterback, which is, you know, I've heard you say it's going to be probably the main thing that they talk about every single day at camp is who's going to be his quarterback on start, you know, opening day. And Rex has alluded to that the competition is going to be, you know, between all of them, and it'll be up to whoever steps to the forefront during preseason games, you know, to win that job. But as far as the receivers go, you know, to me, it could be one of the most talented group, if not the best group of receivers in the league this year. And Sammy's coming back from a kind of a year where he did well, but you get a quarterback that you get it to him consistently. He could be definitely a top 10 receiver in the league, you know, within years to come. And watching Robert Woods, it kind of reminds me of me a little bit in the middle there. He tries to find seams and holes in there. So it's going to be a very interesting battle for that fifth or sixth guy as far as the receivers go. And every position there's battles. But, yeah. Again, you know, we're talking about, you know, who's going to pull the trigger. That's really what the what training camp is really going to be about, who's going to be the quarterback. And I have confidence in all of them. I think, you know, EJ is in his third year now, and everybody's been putting him down. And, you know, you never put down a person that you know, has a heart of gold and that is willing to do whatever it takes to get better. And I think he is going to do that, and he's going to have the opportunity to show that. So, again, Rex is not going to just put him on the sidelines like they did last year when Doug Marrone did that. So that's just not the kind of coach he is.
Hey, Andre, I was privileged enough to have a front row seat for your entire Buffalo career. I've told you this. I've said this for years. One of the most impressive things about your game, about your career, was that basically you got better every offseason. And I distinctly recall going to Fredonia and saying, man, Andre Reed looks bigger and faster and better than he was a year ago. This is during the early, you know, first 6 or 7 years of your tenure here. What can you tell players, current players, about doing that, about, you know, paying attention to detail during the offseason and getting better?
Well, I still look like that now, John, so you must see.
Yeah, I know you do.
No, you know what? It's let me tell you, man, every year in every position, a player has to sit himself down and pick out the little small things. And I always said this. I was always tedious to the small details because most of the guys in the league can run. If you can't run, you wouldn't be there. If you can't catch, you wouldn't be there. If you can't block, if you can't tackle, all the little things you need to do at your position, if you can't do that, you're not going to be there. So let's just, you know, cut that out. That's number one. But it's, to me, I've always, when I came into training camp every year, I always focused on the little smallest things. And that could be, you know, maybe, you know, and I'm going to say this to the guys. You know, there's 4 things that I really would like to see these guys do this offseason. I talk about big playability. Definitely the Bills at that position got big playability. One of the things that they have to learn to do more consistently is separate from the defensive back. And I always talk to, even in Kansas City last year, I talked to Dwayne Bowe and a bunch of the other guys that they had. I said, you can separate and get maybe 3 or 4 inches away from a defensive back, and you're not going to win most of the time there. If you can get 5 to 6 inches away, most of the time you're going to win. You're going to catch the ball because that 3 or 4 inches is the difference between you catching it and the defensive back knocking it down. So these little things, route running, you know, they all can run routes. I like to see, you know, Sammy and Robert get a little bit better at running routes, and I'll be able to see that. And just use the little small things that they do really good to get better at the bigger things.
Hey, Andre, 9.5 months ago, you were enshrined in the Pro Football Hall of Fame on that magnificent night in Canton, Ohio. How has your life changed since going in the Hall of Fame last August?
Well, the one thing that's changed is that it went really fast.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw you, I think I did an interview with you at this time last year,
yep.
If I recall. Was it about this time last year?
I think it was, yep, yep.
Yeah, I came out to Buffalo, did a little interview with you, and I said, well, I got 2 months to go, and I remember being at Jim's camp, and we all know Jim was, you know, a little bit, he was sick last year at this time, and it's going to be really special. I'm going to give him a plug for his golf tournament this weekend. I'll be up this weekend.
Great, so, yep, I was going to ask you that. Good.
It'll be great to see him. He's healthy, he feels good, he looks good. I mean, we see him all over TV with Kelly Tuff, the book, with Aaron and Jill, and I'm really proud of them. I think that, you know, that's just how it is, man. And I think, you know, that's the way I'm going to go about doing it.
Hey, Andre, it'll be great to see you this weekend. It'll be great to have you down at training camp this summer. Have you ever been to Fisher? Have you ever seen the Bills camp down there?
Yeah, I've been down there. The facilities are a lot better than Fredonia.
Yeah, they are. They are a lot better.
A lot better. You know, they just gave us a little tub and stuck 6 guys in there and said, all right, well, you guys got to be ready for it. Yeah, now over there at the facility, they have a hot tub, a hot pool, a cold pool. I don't know how we did it, John, really. I don't know how we stayed healthy, man. Because nowadays, they really treat these players really good. And it's not like they didn't treat us bad, you know, when I played. But
just the amenities are a lot better than they were when I played. And again, this is a full time job, and I hope these players realize that when they come into camp, that it's all about football. It's all about one thing, and that's, you know, winning, getting to a Super Bowl, and winning a Super Bowl, and that should be the bottom line premise for everybody there.
Andre, thanks. We'll see you this weekend. Thank you very much.
You got it, man.
Hall of Famer Andre Reed with 16 years in the NFL, elected to the Pro Football Hall of Fame and enshrined there just last year. Coming back to the Bills, coming back this weekend for Jim Kelly's golf tournament and the gala this Sunday night, but coming back to the Bills this summer as part of the Bill Walsh Fellowship Coaches Program. Andre will be on the sidelines during training camp working with the Bills wide receivers and receivers coach Sanjay Lal. Got more to come, including a little bit of training news coming up. Virtual reality to train quarterbacks. There's a group at Where Else? Stanford that has put together a pretty interesting concept. It includes Trent Edwards, former Bills quarterback. We're going to talk with his partner on the program coming up next, Derek Belch, about training quarterbacks using virtual reality. That's up next, the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO, live tonight from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Good to hear from Andre Reed. Good to hear that he's continuing on his path towards making a career out of coaching, the Hall of Fame wide receiver. Essentially, as I think about it, didn't ask for this, he took a year out of his coaching path to be a Hall of Famer and do the things that Hall of Famers do. But it's always good to check in with Andre Reed. And he, as he indicated, he'll be here this weekend for Jim Kelly's Celebrity Weekend, the gala on Sunday night. And, of course, the golf tournament on Monday in Batavia. Everybody's always looking to develop quarterbacks. They've been doing it here for more than a decade, trying to find the answer, the quarterback answer, and trying to find a way to develop quarterbacks and make them better. There are some folks at Stanford University who think they may have come up with a pretty good tool. It is a virtual reality quarterback trainer. It is developed by Striver Labs in Palo Alto, California. And on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline with us live right now is one of the principals of Striver Labs, a two-year coach on the Stanford coaching staff as a special teams graduate assistant and a former kicker on the Stanford football team. Derek Belch joins us. Derek, thanks for being on the air with us tonight. We appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, John. You're supposed to leave out that I was a former kicker when we're talking about quarterbacks. Otherwise, no one's going to trust me.
Well, we trust kickers on the show. And you actually have a pretty good partner, right? A guy who did some pretty good work here at the quarterback position. Trent Edwards is in on this, right?
Yeah. Trent and I were teammates. He's one of my best friends. And he is on board helping us develop this thing. When he saw it for the first time in December, he took it off right away and said, this is legit. I want to help you make it a company. So...
Well, let's talk.
He's on board.
Let's talk about this, Derek. I mean, virtual reality has been around for a while in science fiction, but tell me exactly what the trainer is that you use for quarterbacks.
Sure. Basically, I mean, we're kind of agnostic when it comes to which actual headset we will use. Right now, we use the Oculus Rift, which was sold to Facebook about a year ago for $2 billion. So everyone's betting that this technology is going to take off. There are other headsets coming out. We'll pick the best one. Right now, Oculus is hands down the best as far as the development kits are concerned. They're not even commercially available yet, but we're able to get access to them, which is pretty neat. And basically, you put this thing on, and you can look around just as if you're on the field. The one thing that kind of separates us from anyone else that's doing this, there aren't many people, but anyone that will do it in the future, is we actually use real video. There's been a lot of stuff written about us, a lot of stories. We actually film the plays on the field in a unique way, and when the quarterback puts it on or any other position that we can do this for, they can get their eyes as if they were on the field. And as far as a guy getting a rep when he doesn't have to physically be present with 21 other players, this is, pretty much as close as it gets right now.
And using the trainer, do you expect, let's say quarterbacks, do you expect them to go through the motions or just like verbalize what they see and how where they would go with the ball, that sort of thing?
Yeah, so, the beauty of ours is we actually have audio. We do pick up exactly what happens on the field, which a lot of people say is almost more important than the video because the communication on the field is so important. Right now, the quarterback does not throw a ball. He's not going to run around. That stuff is very expensive, very complicated. It's nowhere near ready for prime time. One day we'll get there because we have some of the best minds in the business behind this thing. with Jeremy Bailenson, the Stanford professor that I developed this with while I was coaching. His vision kind of drives what we do. But, you know, right now it's strictly decision-making, mental reps, increasing that reaction time. You know, we're not trying to create cyborgs. We do want people to still play the game physically. But we're just hoping that what we do can just increase someone's quarterback's understanding of playing the position that much more. So when he does go on the field, it's second nature.
And I read where you have voiceover capabilities so that while the quarterback trainee is going through this, he can hear his coach kind of talking him through it also, correct?
Yeah, that's certainly something we can do. It's not something that you turn it on and it just happens right away. It's something that, you know, you have to get the buy-in from the staff. You know, so let's just use the Bills as an example. I mean, if this is something that Rex Ryan wants to use, I mean, we could sit down with him and put his voice in there, and we could put exactly what he would want his quarterbacks to hear. So it's pretty neat.
Derek Belch is our guest on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. He and his partners have developed a virtual reality quarterback trainer. Derek, why does it work best, at least initially, for a quarterback?
You know, just because a quarterback, I guess today's quarterback's a little different with the dual threat stuff, but at least at the NFL level, we still, it's still very much a pocket league, and the quarterback does kind of in a little, you know, 1 to 2 yard square yard halo. So what we do, you know, basically we're giving you the viewpoint from where you'd be in that spot, and we're giving you the ability to increase your decision making from that spot. With the other positions, we can do a lot of really cool stuff. It's just tougher because there's so much movement involved. But, for example, for the linebackers and the safeties, we can basically take you up to the point where you would move. But with a QB, you know, the whole play can play out from the spot where you would be, which makes it very, very powerful.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned how you shoot the video, actual video. So what's on the trainer now? Is it Stanford practice video? Are there opponents? Or what? Where are you now with that, and where could you go in the future?
Yeah, so basically, I mean, everything that we do is kind of tailored to the team. Without giving away too much of exactly what we do, if we're with you at your practice and you want to put this content in there, it's on you, you know, to figure out what you, you know, as a coach, what you want to put in there. And the library just builds and builds and builds. So right now, we have Stanford, and everything that we did last year is in the Stanford library, as well as what we did during spring. We have 5 college teams, Auburn, Arkansas, Clemson, Vanderbilt, and Dartmouth, and they have a nice little library that they built out during spring football that will just continue to grow during training camp in the season. And then we have 1 NFL team that shall remain nameless right now that has a nice little library that's growing as well. And, you know, the whole goal of this is you get to September, October, next February, you know, next March, and you have so much content in there that you can pretty much call up any situation that you want to see. And as a quarterback, that can be absolutely invaluable.
So I'm guessing that with your clients, the 1 NFL, the 5 college teams, is their library essentially the looks they would get from their opponents? I mean, they all run scout teams when the Bills play the Colts in the opener.
Much.
Yeah. So these teams have already run their scout teams, and you've shot the video of the scout team looks.
Yep. And again, it's on the coach. I mean, you kind of choose what you want to do. There's ways we can kind of customize it. There's ways we can just integrate it right into your practice. You know, so it's all up to what the coach wants to do.
Derek, what are the benefits for both professionals and colleges for doing this in virtual reality as opposed to actual doing the practice reps?
Sure. Well, I mean, there's nothing. I'm not going to sit here and say that this is a magic bullet. And everyone wants me to say that it's not. I mean, there's no substitute for actually getting the physical work along with the mental work. We have come up with a way to give you the next best thing from being on the field physically. You are going through the mental mechanics of what you would do from the viewpoint you will have on the field. It's not sideline. It's not end zone. It's interactive. It's not just sitting there mindlessly staring at it, and a coach looks behind him in the room, and 5 guys are asleep, guys are just kind of nodding. I mean, when you put this thing on, there's nowhere to hide. If I'm a coach, I can see what you're looking at. So from an understanding how a player processes standpoint, there's nothing better. And then from a player's standpoint, you know, the amount of time that NFL and NCAA, and I'm sure it's coming in high school next, the amount of time these guys can spend on the field just keeps getting stripped away more and more. So if we can give you a way to basically simulate as close as possible the mental work that you need while you're on the field, I mean, how valuable is that?
I guess
the verge of something pretty big.
Yeah, I guess you've already field tested this. What, late last season with the Stanford quarterback Evan Hogan?
Yeah, we used it all year at Stanford, and we kind of were getting the bugs worked out during the season. But by the end of the year, it was a well-oiled machine, and Kevin used it very regularly the last few games. And I'm not going to take anything away from him. There are a lot of reasons why he played well those last three games. We do have data that shows he used our trainer and how he used it, and we'd like to think that that had a little piece of why he played so well.
And you demonstrated this product at the Combine in Indianapolis in February. How did that go?
It went really well. As a matter of fact, we like to laugh that we went to the Combine a few months ago with really only like one play to show everybody. We had two different viewpoints for one play for the quarterback. We had a ton of coaches say, well, what about defense? What about special teams? What about this? They all saw the value of it. We just couldn't actually show it at the time. Everyone loved it. Today, we have just about everything that you can do on a football field, we can show you. And it's pretty neat. So I think if we went back to the Combine today, it would have been a totally different conversation. But the reaction from everybody, I was pretty surprised. It was overwhelmingly positive. With some obvious pushback on how you actually have to capture the content and how that works into your practice schedule. But as far as being a useful tool, there wasn't a single coach or general manager that saw this that said, well, I don't know. I mean, everyone, to a man, everyone said that it was legit, which was pretty neat.
The expense, what would, getting involved in this from a big-time college program or a professional team, how much money would they have to lay out to get involved in this?
It all depends on what teams want. I mean, I'm not going to name exact dollar figures. Some of that stuff has been in writing. Some teams that want the most basic thing that will cost, tens of thousands of dollars. So other teams want something that might be, like you've probably read in the stories, might be as high as $250,000.
Yeah.
But it depends. I mean, if teams want to blow this thing up and want it to be the most amazing experience for every player on the team, well, I mean, heck, give us a blank checkbook and we could do something amazing. So
yeah.
it kind of all depends what the team wants. One thing for us is we do have to be smart about this. I mean, we can't price ourselves out. This can't just be for six teams in all of college football and the NFL. And we're working towards how we can make more affordable, more pervasive experiences for these teams.
Derek, I've been thinking a lot about this virtual reality thing over the last weekend or so, and I keep going back to the famous Yogi Berra quote that the game is 90% mental and the other half is physical. But when it comes to quarterback play, I don't know if it's 90%, but it's a lot of it mental, isn't it? And this is one way to sharpen up the mental acuity when it comes to playing that position.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the best example that we can give people is look at a team like, and I follow the NFL very closely, and look at a team like Arizona last year. I mean, that was just about as bad as it could have gone as far as the injuries they had to the quarterback position. And if our trainer could have led, I'm not going to take anything away from any of those guys because they're all playing at the professional level, but if Ryan Lindley could have been that much more prepared when it was his turn to be called upon, could Arizona have won one more game that then gave them a home game in the playoffs?
Mm.
I don't know what the answer to that is. I'm just using that as an example. And the numbers show that every year, almost a dozen starting quarterbacks go down within the first half of the season. So if this isn't being used by the starters, you can bet your butt it's going to be used by the backups that don't get the reps in practice. And I don't care how good you are. If you're not getting reps in practice, if you're just standing there watching, you're not getting better. So if our trainer can help the backup quarterback at the very least be more prepared for when his number's called, then we've done our job. And
yeah,
anything else we can do from after that is gravy. So,
Derek, I get the sense that you're onto something very big here and that you've just scratched the surface. Good luck with this, and please give our best to your partner, Trent Edwards.
Thanks, John. I appreciate the time. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on. Derek Belch is one of the principals of Striver Labs in Palo Alto, California. They've developed a very interesting quarterback trainer employing virtual reality. Trent Edwards is his partner, his former Stanford teammate. Very, very interesting stuff. Derek joined us via the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. Subway, eat fresh. We're back in a moment to wrap things up and figure out what we've learned tonight on the show. The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. Live tonight at One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Thanks again to Derek Belch. And Striver Labs is the company that is developing the virtual reality trainers for quarterbacks. You heard him say it's got almost unlimited possibilities, and I find that very interesting. Striver Labs, S-T-R-I-V-R Labs, if you want to look it up on the Internet. Pretty interesting stuff. We learned about that from Derek Belch tonight. What else did we learn on tonight's show? A lot. I liked our show tonight. We learned, by virtue of the phone calls we took, that most Bills fans remain very optimistic, that optimism reigns, and that people are not concerned at all. Bills fans not concerned at all about too much optimism. We learned from head coach Rex Ryan a lot about the first day of organized team activity, and we asked Rex Ryan about his timetable for making a decision on selecting a quarterback.
You know, ideally, you'd like to do it sooner than later, yeah. But in an ideal world, I don't think we're going to be there. You know, I think this will go through 2 or 3 weeks through training camp. So we'll see how it goes, especially having the three guys and you wanting to get, all the looks you can. But ideally, you'd like to be able to make that decision, sooner than later.
2 or 3 weeks into training camp, it sounds like that might be Coach Ryan's target for making a quarterback decision. And from talking with Andre Reed earlier this hour, we learned that he's very serious about joining the Bills as their Bill Walsh coaching fellow this summer at training camp and very excited about being with the Bills at camp.
Very serious about this. And I think, this is a great, talented group of guys that the Bills have there at the position and as a whole, the whole team. And to be a part of it and to add my expertise, if you want to say, and be there as a mentor, be there in anything that they need from a football standpoint, from any kind of standpoint, I feel that I can give that to them. And that's really what the whole thing's about.
Andre Reed, looking forward to seeing him this weekend and seeing him down at training camp coming up this summer, part of the Bill Walsh Coaching Fellowship Program conducted by the NFL. Well, another day of organized team activity for the Buffalo Bills tomorrow, and we'll be out there keeping an eye on the practice. We'll have a full report on the show tomorrow night. Manny Lawson scheduled to join us tomorrow night. Bills outside linebacker will get his take on this new Buffalo defense. We're going to talk about NFL uniforms, a new ranking from ESPN. The Bills have, what did they say, Jay, the 7th best uniform in the NFL?
Yeah.
From 4th?
Correct.
How does it go down? It didn't change.
I think they looked at last year and the alterations with the blue on blue. So we'll get into that tomorrow.
We'll get into that.
I think he's prepared to talk about that.
All right. We'll challenge Paul Lucas. We'll ask some tough questions about how the Bills' uniforms got worse from last year to this. That's coming up tomorrow night.
We'll ask him what he's wearing.
What are you wearing right now?
Yeah. We'll judge him.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So tomorrow night, 7 to 9, we're on the air. We want to thank our presenting sponsor, NOCO. Family-owned, locally operated since 1933. Like NOCO on Facebook.com/NOCO for great deals, specials, and more. Mike Jafari, our engineer. Jay Harris, our producer and director of broadcasting. Jeff Matthews. See you tomorrow night at 7. The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.